nearing the end of our 50 Baptists. You should know we've been looking at 50 Baptists in our 50th anniversary year. And this morning we're looking at number 48. And I just want to say that the last three people that I want to talk about, I decided to go back and look at three laymen who are not in full-time service and that deserve note, that we should look to or look at. And so I wanted to do that. We'll put those in chronological order. So we're going to go back in time a bit. Last pastor we looked at was in the 20th century, just died in 2007, I think. And so now we're going to go back into the 1600s and begin there and look at a man, and then put these last three men in chronological order. That'll make sense once we get going here. But in May of 1660, London was in the middle of wild celebrations. People were dancing and laughing and drinking through the night as bonfires and torches lit London. Charles II had been restored to the throne, and the unsaved crowds were celebrating a farewell to the Puritan standards of Oliver Cromwell and the moral standards. And Charles II was going to usher in a time of pleasure for its own sake, licentiousness, drunkenness. And James Foe and his wife were the happy new parents of their first child, Daniel. But the Foes were godly Christians and staunch Baptists, and they were deeply saddened by what was about to happen to their country. Daniel wouldn't be christened as a baby because his parents were nonconformists. And his father was right about the condition of the country. Within 2 years, Charles II was severely persecuting all nonconformists, Baptists, Presbyterians. It began as with the expulsion of over 2,000 Bible-believing pastors from their churches. Their pastor, Dr. Annesley, built a chapel for his people to meet in, but it soon became a crime for nonconformists to meet at all. And so there was cruel punishment for anyone who was caught worshiping outside the Church of England. And to be put in perspective, John Bunyan was arrested during this time. He was arrested in the same year, 1660, and put in prison for 12 years. And we know, of course, know his story. That's this time. That's the time of Charles II and this great persecution. And as a young boy, Daniel Foe, he never forgot the awful insecurity of worshiping on Sundays. When it became dark, the Foes would slip out of their house with their three children and make their way to a small building or wherever Dr. Annesley was meeting at that time. And there he was able to preach the truth and continue teaching his people, the people of his church. Eventually they met outside wherever they could find. When he was 13, Daniel was sent to the Dissenters Academy, which was in an old rundown mansion kind of hidden in London. And there he was given an amazing Christian education. But he also was developing into an extreme activist. He was very, very intelligent, very well-versed, very good with his speaking ability and with his pen. And he had the great influence of his godly parents and his Christian friends around him, but he never asked the Lord to save him. He never was saved during this time. His parents wanted him to become a minister, but he was far more interested in commerce. And after his education, he got married and became a merchant. He eventually began to write his own radical thoughts and ideas for solving the world's problems. Gradually, he became very, very well known in upper class circles, and he threw himself into that very vain lifestyle. As a young adult, he changed his name to Defoe, and we know him as Daniel Defoe. And he continued to be very involved in the nonconformist church, in his Baptist church, but he never asked the Lord to save him, never accepted the Lord as a Savior. It didn't take long for a person with these talents, as Defoe's were, to grip the public's imagination. And then he started writing political and historical writings, and he spoke and he wrote and he was applauded wherever he went. His fame and wealth and popularity seemed to be unstoppable. And at the age of 30, he was considered the greatest writer, one of the greatest writers of his time. The Bible says that riches are uncertain, and they certainly are, and man's popularity is just as uncertain. And over the next years, he saw, right after he was 30 years old, he saw a great business reversal. And then he wrote some satires. They're good works, but the public misunderstood his biting satire. And it brought him to a real low in his life. He began to lose all of his money. His friends deserted him. And at one point, he had to go into bankruptcy and was sentenced to 2 years in prison. His relationship through this time, not because of that, but through his time, he had completely forgotten his wife and children. That relationship was destroyed. His children basically grew up not knowing who their father was, or actually they knew who their father was, but he wasn't with them. His father was a very famous man. Their father was a very famous man. And God would bring him to a very low point in his life. There were some health problems, and he began to think about, and really it seemed that finally his conscience was catching up with him in a sense. And of course, that's conviction, and the Lord is convicting. He had great remorse for how he had shamelessly sacrificed his family for his personal success. The verse that we are memorizing this month is a perfect fit for Daniel Defoe's life. And God was convicting his heart during his time. And as he looked back at this terribly misspent life, such great possibilities and terribly misspent. And I won't go into the years and years of just the moral decline and the terrible decline in his life. But later, he would write a great Christian novel. We know the novel, Robinson Crusoe. And in this book, he would give his own testimony. And he writes of the salvation of Crusoe, that is his testimony. And he wrote this in that book. He said, "I took up the Bible and began to read." And this is exactly what happened in his life at this very low point in his life. "And the first words were, 'Call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver, and thou shalt glorify me.'" And he said he did what he had never done in his life, and his life was remarkably changed. And these are his words that he writes in Robinson Crusoe. He said, "I took the Bible, and beginning in the New Testament, I began seriously to read it. But I found my heart more deeply and sincerely affected with the wickedness of my past life. I was earnestly begging of God to give me repentance. When I came to these words, 'He has exalted a prince and a savior to give repentance and to give remission of sins,' I put down the book and my heart, and with my heart as well as my hands lifted up to heaven in a kind of ecstasy of joy. And I cried aloud, 'Jesus, thou son of David, Jesus, thou exalted prince and savior, give me repentance.' This was the first time that I could say in the true sense of the words that I had prayed in all my life. For I now pray with a sense of my condition. Now I look back upon my past life with such horror, and that my sins appear so dreadful that my soul sought nothing of God but deliverance from the load of guilt that bore down." God had forgiven him, and he had repented of his sin and yielded his life to the Lord Jesus. He became in every sense of the word a new person. Daniel Defoe, the grip of the world was now broken. And a new value system, of course, completely took over his life. He made very rapid progress in his walk with God because of his teachings of his childhood. And he declared his faith as a Baptist, and soon his pen was writing Christian works and novels. And we have wonderful Christian novels written by Daniel Defoe even today. He became a personal soul winner in the book Robinson Crusoe. If you read that book, it's an amazing book, but it talks about it gives the story of Robinson Crusoe. It's Defoe's own testimony and his personal walk with Christ, and how he then leads his man Friday to the Lord. It's just a wonderful spot in that book where he leads that man to the Lord. And for 15 years, he strove to be as active as possible in Christian work, very conscious of his very wicked past. Again, everybody in England knew who he was, and they saw the dramatic change in his life. And God blessed his later years. He became a humble, genuine person, concerned for the souls around him. In April 1731, he went home to be with the Lord. And Daniel Defoe is regarded as the father of journalism and really the father of the modern novel. And it's a significant tribute, I think, to him and how the Lord forgave him, that nearly all his books written in the latter part of his life are still in print and available today. This is 300 and some years later. And so I want to thank the Lord this morning for Daniel Defoe and really the remarkable power of God to change even the most hardened sinner. And I show you there the last slide is his grave. We've talked about this, but if you go to London, and I would encourage you to try to do that someday, go on a Sunday so you can attend Metropolitan Tabernacle, Spurgeon's Old Church. And my wife and I, after church that Sunday afternoon, the pouring rain, maybe it's always raining in London, took a few buses, rides, and walked a little distance to a graveyard. I wanted to see these graves. And so in the, it's a very similar name to Bunyan. I say Bunhill, is that Bunhill Cemetery? It was a dissenter's graveyard. Dissenters, Baptists, were not allowed to be buried with everybody else. And so you have some great men of God buried in this cemetery. And so there is kind of an obelisk that was put up a couple hundred years ago for Daniel Defoe. But then right across the way, probably maybe 20 feet from there, is John Bunyan's grave. And just some amazing things in that cemetery. And so I just encourage you maybe sometime to try to do that. It's maybe something not everybody can do, but if you have the chance, it's kind of a neat trip down history's lane. Right across the street is Wesley's chapel and home, where the Wesleys taught and preached. And so it's just an interesting thing. But I want to thank the Lord for, again, his power to change a man like Daniel Defoe and for Daniel Defoe's Christian life.